Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Kareen Carey sat down in the studio with John Boyajian to discuss his run for the Democratic line on the November general election ballot to represent State Assembly District 107, which encompasses Hoosick Falls, East Greenbush, Cambridge, and parts of Troy.
Welcome to the studio, Don.
Thank you for having me.
I want to start out this interview with one thing. I talked to your opponent, Histria Houtling, the other day about how important names are on a ballot. And she's got an interesting name, Histria Houtling. But you also have an interesting name, Don Boyajian. And it's interesting at this point in American politics around immigration. I know that you talked about that in your campaign. Tell us a little bit about your name.
Sure. So it's an Armenian last name. My family's from the Armenian community that settled in Troy. There's a large Armenian community in Troy, and most of us came here during the Armenian genocide during the 20th century. That's how my family came here. So we've always known America to be a country that welcomes and embraces immigrants and certainly gave us the opportunity to live the American dream right in upstate New York.
What sparked your run for this assembly seat?
It's a pretty specific series of events. My family grew up with a farm on Hudson River Road, and we were pulling water out of the Hudson that was laden with PCBs. And that early experience led me to become an environmental policy aide in Congress and eventually an environmental attorney. And right now I live outside of Hoosick Falls. And to see what happened there go the way it did, to see the ball dropped the way it was, really went to my core. And I knew at this point in time we needed somebody in this assembly seat that was going to be a strong and effective advocate on environmental issues and water issues, and that's what I've dedicated my life to.
So some of the seeds of this run started in 2014 when this crisis with the water was first discovered in Hoosick Falls.
Absolutely, and it's not just Hoosick Falls. It's Petersburg, it's Nassau Lake, it's Troy's crumbling water infrastructure. We have this very unique and dangerous combination of past industrial abuse in our region, combined with very old, strained infrastructure, and Flint, Michigan kind of comes to mind. That might sound extreme, but we don't want to go there. And we need somebody that has the chops and the background to address these issues and do it efficiently. And I haven't seen anybody step up to the plate.
The Republicans have held this district for 28 years, I believe. Do you think the Democrats have a chance of taking the 107th district?
I think with the right candidate, we can win it, and we can win it big. And I think once this district does get into Democratic hands and majority members' hands, it will stay Democratic. The proof is in the pudding. A member that is supporting the policies which will move upstate New York forward.
I'm sure you've looked at what the New York State Legislature has addressed in the past few years. Aside from environmental issues, is there an issue that you're really eager to jump into and help lend your voice to the debate?
There are a few. Advocating for organized labor and working men and women is one I feel incredibly strongly about. I've met with members of the Senate and the Assembly for several years on the importance of keeping our labor law and certain sections of the labor law strong. And it's all about protecting our workers. And I see right now unions under attack federally. You know, that's another example of how New York State is a safeguard against the destructive policies the federal government is currently embracing. And as Democrats, we've generally been good on these issues, but we need to double down and we need to be steadfast in our support of unions, which I think are one of our most effective and potent tools against corporate influence over America. Everybody talks about the deterioration of the middle class, which is true. It is happening. Well, unions are one of the best tools we have against that because they exist to protect working men and women, to make sure that everybody can earn a good living wage, to make sure that work protections are in place. I mean, unions gave us the 5-day work week. They gave us paid sick leave. They gave us collective bargaining. The list goes on and on. And they're really the backbone of the middle class, and we need to double down in that support, particularly after this Janus decision, which is the most anti-union decision from the Supreme Court in a long time.
Can you give our listeners a little bit of a 101 on what the Janus decision was?
The Janus decision essentially promotes a right to work. Right to work is a dicey term. It's like, remember, the Constitutional Convention last year where they put these innocuous sounding labels on a very destructive policy. There's a thing called an agency fee, where if somebody isn't a dues-paying member of the union, they pay an agency fee that goes towards collective bargaining purposes. That good wage that they earn is the result of the collective bargaining efforts of the union. Well, this Janus decision said that they didn't have to pay that agency fee. But they're still entitled to that wage that the union collectively bargained for. And there's tremendous value in collective bargaining. My sister, she was a public school teacher up here in the Capital Region, got one of the jobs that came out of the stimulus. And eventually that job phased out of existence, and she got a job down in the city at a school that wasn't a public school. And you know what her wage is like now? It's not as good. And she doesn't have the bargaining power. That's a great example of the value of collective bargaining. This decision is one of the most anti-union decisions we've had in modern history.
I was at the candidate forum in Cambridge last week, and one thing that struck me was that you and your opponent agree on so many of the important policy issues: reproductive rights, environmental regulations, scaling them up rather than pulling them back, campaign finance reform. What distinguishes you from your opponent in this race?
Having a track record and the training and the background of championing all those issues we're talking about. I've spent my life as an environmental advocate. I worked as a policy aide on environmental policy in Congress during the Obama years. I clerked in the Attorney General's office in the Environmental Bureau. I'm a town attorney for several towns in the Capital Region, which suffer from a suite of environmental issues. I'm representing municipalities against the pharmaceutical companies in the opioid epidemic. When we talk about these issues, it's very easy to have a stance, but to actually have a track record and have the requisite skills to be a policy advocate for people in upstate New York, that's different. And you know, having that experience federally, state, and locally, both enforcing and creating new laws and advocating for people in upstate New York, working men and women, that is, I think, a rarity in the assembly as a whole, to have somebody that has that wealth of experience, and I believe I bring that to the table.
We're talking with Don Boyajian, one of two candidates competing for the Democratic line in the September 13th primary election. The winner of that race will go on to face incumbent Jake Ashby, who narrowly defeated Democrat Cindy Duran in a special election this past April. Ashby and the winner of the Democratic primary will face off in the general election on November 6th. Don, one of the questions that came up at the forum was about money and campaign finance reform. And as I said before, you didn't differ on policy, but there was quite a bit of back and forth about the kind of candidacy you both have. You pledged not to take money from PACs and to self-impose a term limit. And Tistria Houtling spoke about being a working class mom, someone who identifies with people in the district. You also talked about how much you've raised from your community. And I think at one point there was a member of the audience who kind of wanted to bring the candidates a reality check to say, we actually need big money in this election to defeat the Republican. What are your thoughts about big money in this particular race?
It's unfortunate that running for office costs money, but the truth is it does. I don't think that money wins races, especially in this context, but I look at it like a car. You could be the best driver in the world. If you don't have any gas in the tank, you're not going anywhere. But you could have all the gas in the tank and be a lousy driver, and you're also not going to get anywhere. So I look at the funds you need to run a campaign properly as the gas in the tank. But I don't think that wins elections. I was showing you my shoes right before we started this. The shoes I bought in July
yes.
already have holes in the bottom of them. That's how you win elections.
When you're not running to represent the residents of the 107th Assembly District, what do you enjoy doing?
I enjoy a lot of things. I chose to live in Cambridge, not only for the incredible community that's there, but because of the environment. I'm a lifelong fly fisherman. I love trout fishing, and that's part of what brought me up there, to be on the Hoosic, which is this river that keeps coming back, despite the fact that it's been abused for decades and decades. I actually read a study from about 80 years ago saying this river could never support trout. It has too many problems. It's too warm. And it still comes back. And I've always kind of been obsessed with that river and the Baton Kill. So that brought me up there. I play in a bluegrass band in Cambridge. I play a little five-string banjo and guitar. And those are two things I really love to do. I'm also kind of just a hobby ecologist that kind of stems with all the environmental work I do.
I know that you heard about the release of the community health study out of Bennington College, I believe.
Correct.
What are your reactions to that community health study? And I guess in comparison to what the State Department of Health found in its own look at the health effects of the water contamination in the area?
It's not by coincidence that a lot of the counties in our region have much higher cancer rates than background rates in the United States. It's because of this long history of industrial abuse, particularly in the time before there were strong environmental standards. If you talk to anybody up where I live, which is a couple minutes outside of Hoosic Falls, I don't think we were surprised by the findings from the Bennington College study because we know a lot of sick people in the community. That's why I've been running on a clean water message since the very first day of the campaign. It's really what my whole life has really been about, coming from that farm that was pulling water out of the Hudson River. That's why I've been calling for our legislators to follow the most current science, which indicates that PFOAs and their similar related compounds are harmful at much lower levels than initially expected. This is representative of a suite of environmental issues in our region, which largely get brushed under the rug. They don't get the attention they deserve from the state. And that's why I'm running, is to get on top of this issue, because what happened in Hoosic Falls and Petersburg can never happen again. And it's not just the contamination, it's the response and the way that it went about. And I just saw a letter that was signed by dozens of members of the assembly calling for the Department of Health to follow the most current science on PFOAs and their similarly related compounds. Jake Ashby did not sign it. That's unacceptable, that type of complicity. That's why I'm running. That's why we need somebody that knows water issues and science and environmental policy.
If you could name one thing, one event, one situation in your past that best prepared you for the role of assembly representative for this district, what would it be?
Ooh, that's a tough question. One thing. It really is cumulative, the experiences in my life. If I were to say one event best prepared me for this and has been a defining moment in my life, it was working as a legislative aide in Congress during the Obama years, seeing what good Democratic public servants can accomplish for our country and for upstate New York. When I was working in Congress, it was all Democratic members in all of the upstate seats. And we provided health care to millions of new people. We provided recourse for women that were subject to pay discrimination. We were very close to passing a comprehensive climate change bill. It actually did pass in the House and came up short in the Senate. That's what good Democrats can do. And that was a defining experience for me in my life. And I think led me to this race that I'm in now.
Well, thank you so much for sitting down to talk to us today. I appreciate you coming into the studio.
Thanks for having me.
That was Democratic primary candidate Don Boyajian talking to Hudson Mohawk Magazine correspondent Corinne Carey. Boyajian will face off against Tistria Houtling on Thursday, September 13th, the Democratic primary election day. Mark your calendars and remember to vote that Thursday.